Welcome to the Entrepreneur's Lounge radio show, where we expose the myths of entrepreneurship and release the weight of it all. Real people, real issues, and real talk with expert solutions. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show as we welcome our host, Alicia Brown, the Joy Guru.
Thank you for joining us again for another episode of Society Survivors. Society Survivors is a branch of my Generational Survivors global platform. It is designed to empower our communities on a local and global scale by raising awareness on societal topics that are not often viewed as a priority. I would like for you all to please view our past episodes, okay, and receive the updates and the resource information when you visit our Facebook page, Generational Survivors. And joining me today is none other than my beautiful co-host, Alicia Brown, our producer, the Joy Guru.
Yes.
How are you doing today, Alicia?
My coffee has not set in yet.
No, neither has mine.
So I am still joyful. My perk isn't 100% there. This is the natural perk, but we're going to make it. You know, yesterday was just so awesome for me because it was like I had a few hours where I was just out and about, you know, still only for essential items, still intentional, not just lollygagging. But for some odd reason, it just felt like normal times, the sanitizer and all of that stuff. But it just felt normal. You know, I was in the stores. I had my mask on. I brought my Clorox wipes and all of that good stuff. But it was like, you know, I'm just in the store getting the things we need, thinking about, you know, for dinner. And every time I go out, I try to make trips where I know I don't have to go out for another 2 or 3 weeks. But I was just thinking about things we needed. And the funny thing is, since it's been a minute since I went out, I am not used to having to go to so many different stores to get toilet paper and paper towel. You know, first one, I know, I've been blessed up to now. My
this
first
is our
one
new
I
normal.
Went to, they had like almost everything I wanted. Few things they didn't have, I said, that's cool, because what we need is going to be there. And then I no toilet paper, no bleach, no paper towel. So I had another store in mind for those items. And I just prayed and I said, God, you know, I'm not worried because I know you're going to help me find exactly what I need. So boom, second store. And the guy was back there stocking. I just asked him because I looked around. I said, do you have any toilet paper, any paper towels, any bleach? And he was just like, oh, well, the last of the toilet paper we have is in that box. It was one, you know, package and that was it. And then toilet paper, they limited to 4. So I was able to get that. He had bleach, you know. So I was like, thank you, Lord. But then my thing is, of course, because there's limits now, go to another store, whatever, to make sure, you know, you can have enough to really have enough. And none. I went here. And I said, you know what? This is it for today. I had my errands. I had my things I had to do, deposits, bank trips, all that good stuff. Did it all. I said, now go home, prepare for your family, you know, make your meal or whatever, refrigerator, we'll try again tomorrow. And then I was reminded, now this is a benefit of technology. I was reminded of a particular place that someone had said, and I called them and it was like 30 minutes before closing. I said, do you have any bleach, any toilet paper, any paper towels? And they were like, yeah. So, you know, today went there, they had plenty, you know, so we're good right now. Mm-hmm. It just reminded me, like we talk about on this show, prayer, preparation. It reminded me of the things that I've been saying that you look at meat. I know here in Virginia, they're in South Dakota now, they used to be in Virginia, but one of the major meat packing places has closed only U.S. Processing plant. So that's going to account for an 8% shortage in meat. It's a lot of shortage right now, and a lot of things I was trying to prepare my family for is that you're going to have to look at alternative sources. Some of these, you know, even fruit, meat, and vegetables, some of these local farmers that deliver to the door, even if there's a little advertisement, we might get to a point where you got to pay that because there's just nothing else. And, you know, we love Amazon and Amazon can ship us things. Well, I'm looking at Prime, you know, we have a Prime membership. And I'm like, how do you have Prime? And I'm going to order it today and it can't get to me for like 2-3 weeks. So this prayer, preparation,
that's right.
Someone on one of the social media sites has said they're ordering toilet paper from janitorial supply companies. You got right. A big case of it. But it's like, again, that is an option that you need to have in your reservoir, because the way things are going, shortages are coming. So you
absolutely
have to be prepared. And I think that helps a lot in our mindset and our demeanor and how we can successfully navigate through this, because it's a lot. But before we get into technology part about virtual social distancing, because I'm not even gonna give you my opinions on that, I'll save that for a minute. I know you have an update from our interview on Monday with the first responder, Denise Johnson, from Staten Island, was it Staten Island?
New York.
Diversity Hospital.
Hospital.
IUH. I know you have an update from her, so I would love to hear that before I get into all the research and numbers.
Yes. Thank you for that, Alicia.
Absolutely.
Denise Johnson gave a beautiful update. When she returned to work, she discovered that her hospital had released 400 of the patients that were COVID-19 patients. And Then that day while she was there, they released 3 more. And every time they release, they sing a song. Good grief. And I can't remember the song, but I was
something about sunshine.
Something about sunshine. But I think that's just an awesome way to leave. And those spirits that the hospital has embraced all of this with all that they're going through, they're still trying to shine a beacon of light and hope there. And yes. She said that their PPE equipment is in. Yay, Governor Cuomo. Yeah,
so he's doing an awesome job.
Yes. Yeah, he really is. I'm excited for them. And I'm also praying that they all stay safe. And yes. Denise Johnson, again, we wish to thank you for just coming on our show and highlighting us and giving us a look into inside of your life and what you experience on a daily basis. It's people like that who make true warriors in this crisis.
Right.
People like Denise Johnson, they are true first responders, and I appreciate all that she is and all that she gives of herself.
Yeah. And if you not watch that episode, you know, you go our YouTube channel or on Facebook, you can go to Generational Survivors and actually see the link for that, or the Entrepreneurs Lounge radio show. You can find the link for Monday's show on first responders. A lot of good information.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if you say true to her spirit or true to the New Yorker that she is, they're going to give you the truth, you know,
that's it.
Coding it. But, you know, she gave an accurate assessment of what's going on. And really, I think it's a model for what they were doing at that hospital and for some of the procedures they're putting in place. And, you know,
absolutely,
New York is one of those hotbeds. It was a model for what we all need to do. And before I get into this research, that's the one thing I want to advocate. You know, although yesterday to me felt like normal, you know, we're hearing all these reports and we want to keep a good mindset, because people are coming out of this, not everybody is dying. People are, you know, being admitted to the hospital and actually coming out.
And they are coming out.
Yes. But the thing is, when you do something and see that it's working, it's not when you just, okay, well, I don't have to do this anymore. I take it back to childhood where when you were sick and you know, you either got that homeopathic, our grandmother's medicine and felt better, or maybe you did go to the doctor and take some medicine and you're beginning to feel better. What happened when you're like, oh, I'm good, and you tried to resume back to normal? Now you got sick again. And sometimes you were sicker than before because
you're
taking the medicine too early, or, you know, you were feeling so good, you just thought you can go back into the normal swing of things, and you couldn't.
Exactly.
We want to encourage that, is that all the good we see going on, definitely keep that to heart. Hold that into your heart as hope. But don't let it give you a false positive where now you don't need to take any prevention methods. You don't have to be as alarmed. You can just go back to normal, because this is not something we want to see.
We don't want to see a second wave.
Pretty much. That's what I'm trying to say.
We really don't.
Yeah. So let's still take precaution.
That's right.
That's right, Alicia. I wanted to say it's serious. And this is where, when we're talking about a virtual social distancing, really be mindful and prayerful of the people that also rely on this technology. Because we are seeing an increase, as predicted, as we would expect, in suicides, including with our youth.
That's right.
You know, those others with mental health challenges. It's a lot to be quarantined if you're doing it properly. It's a lot, you know, not to be able to talk to people in person, have events in person. It may not seem like a big deal to some, but that whole disruption of normalcy really plays a part for different people and affects us all different. Some people, though, it just affects more than others. So people are literally just losing it from being quarantined for so long. And for some people, without that constant connection with others, and I'm not saying virtually, but actually being able to go sometimes to meetings and events, it's really having some devastating losses. So we want to be mindful of that. But one of the things we were looking at is the fact that so many people, a lot of people now, you can work from home. So they have Zoom meetings, you know, supervisors, bosses, what have you. They're trying to stay connected to their people. So, you know, there's all these Zoom meetings. And then there's encouragement for you. If you have some additional time, take some training programs. Some people are still pursuing their education, online classes now. So there's so much now that we're doing online and so much communication that's going on that for some people, it's just overkill. So we want to think about that. The New York Times actually discussed this in their April 7th article titled, "The Virus Changed the Way We Internet," which we know it definitely did. And they analyzed internet usage in the U.S., and they got data from two online providers. And it revealed that our behaviors, that as our behavior shifted, sometimes starkly, as the virus spread and it pushed us to our devices, and connecting. So it did reveal that a lot of people are not using and dependent on their phones as much.
Right.
I bet that when you're looking at stuff like Netflix, you know, people were watching movies and trying, you know, I can't go to the movie theaters anymore. They're trying to just digress and have some entertainment. But with the rise of social distancing, we're seeking out new ways to connect to one another. And mostly it's through video chat. So they saw, according to their studies from January to now, there was a 12.4% increase.
Wow.
Yes. And that was in Google Duo.
Wow.
There was a 73.3% increase in another application, Nextdoor, nextdoor.com. And that will keep, for people not familiar with that, that will keep you aware of what's going on in your neighborhood. So sometimes they're telling you, they'll give you an alert that there's toilet paper at your local grocery store.
Right.
If your dog is missing or somebody broke in the neighborhood, they'll give you updates to things going on in your community. And then there was other application they saw, how we suddenly became reliant on other services. Of course, the platform we're on now, Zoom.
Yes.
Saw a huge increase. And I mean, January, they were good with like, you know, 5 million, but they just increased up to now to over 6 million.
Wow.
That's a lot of people using Zoom.
That is more than a lot.
Yeah, because we even have some school systems use this software for the kids to interact
right.
between work, private businesses, kids. And then some people also use it for their personal communication. Zoom saw a surge. And then, of course, Google as well, they have their own Google Classroom. Again, that's where you can imagine with the instructors. They saw a big increase. Google Hangouts, Microsoft Teams, all of this technology just saw triple a lot right. of times their numbers, or at least double. So we're using technology more and more.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Too much. I know, Saadia, you had written a blog post about that, so I want to hear your thoughts on do we need to virtually social distance.
Right. That basically, Alicia, that was the title there. Do we need to virtual social distance? There, I was talking with a healthcare provider, and she got into that she's seen more of her sorority sisters and people that family, friends that she hasn't talked to in maybe a year or two. She's seen more of them now by Zoom conferences, virtual Zooming and this and that, and just all types of meet. Let's meet at on Zoom on Friday. Let's have a dinner and a movie on Zoom. And so she says she's so tired of Zooming. And then you have to understand she's a medical person. Yes. She's medical personnel. So she's tele-Zooming. There's telehealth now that they're using in order to still see their patients.
Right.
So they're not going in person as much as they would. The patients are not coming into the office as much as they would in under normal circumstances. So they're doing the telehealth, which is wearing people out. She said that it's she said she's Zoom burnt out. She's on an overload. She can't, she doesn't want to really do it.
Right.
You know, unless she has to. And, you know, one of the things that I was talking about, and I'm not going to give you guys all of my tidbits in the Zoom, but in my blog post, but
they'll have to read it.
They'll definitely have to read it. And I hope that they do, because I'm sure that all of everyone is experiencing some of the anxieties that are coming along with Zoom.
Yes.
You know, I talked about how it makes you feel afterwards from doing so many, as far as on your body, so having to sit up, you know, making sure your posture is right, making sure that you're presentable and, you know, you have a comfortable chair. I mean, these are things that maybe one didn't have in the home.
Nope.
Your home was supposed to be, and that's not on the norm for everyone.
Right. Because
as we know, there are survivors living in abusive homes that home to them wasn't comfortable.
No.
So getting away and actually being at work was the better choice for them. But now that we're all in quarantine of some sort and we're working remotely from home, you know, home is supposed to be your comfort zone. It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be where you escape from your work. You know, when you leave work, if you have that 9-to-5 or if you're working in a business, you have a business and your business is outside of your home, there was downtime.
Right.
Even if you work from home, you knew there was a time where you shut business down and you can go about into another space and just have that quiet time.
Or now, you could go out.
Or you can go out, absolutely. So, but now that everything is inside, everything is being done electronically and virtually, when do you get a break? When does your mind get a time to relax and recharge? When do you have to have that time with yourself now? You still have to create that space for yourself, even within your homes. So there's a lot going on. I know I'm zoomed out. Mm-hmm. I know I've been on Zoom, after webinar, after webinar. And, you know, then I found out that my family had some type of hangout where they all meet up on one particular day and they want to put me in the group. And I am thankful for that.
Yes.
But I am so, like, my eyes started to burn after a while. They got blurry. It's so much going on with us virtually, you know, virtually working from home and virtually socially trying to stay up with our family and friends and connect with them and ensure that everyone is okay.
Right.
It is a lot. And I don't think that we take into account how much time we're actually spending on our computers.
That's what I was going to say.
That's something that we're not doing. And I think we have to look at that. And you even have to check your children, because with them now being homeschooled, basically, because this is basically what it is, they're using a lot of virtual, they're on virtually with their teachers, trying to get their lesson plan.
That's it.
They're also hanging out with their friends. I know for my two teens in the home, they're consistently on their phones and they have a group chat going on. They can see one another. They're Zoom. My daughter, who's 14, she said to me the other day, she said, I'm taking a break. And I said, you're taking a break from what? I'm getting off Instagram. So I thought she means she had shut her Instagram page down. I said, oh, wow, you shut your Instagram page? She said, no, mom, I didn't shut it down. I'm just getting off for a while. And to hear a 14-year-old say that she needed a break,
right?
That really, like, that clicked with me, like, wow, this is getting to be a lot. And, you know, we have to really monitor our children as well, monitor ourselves and monitor them as well. If you have a child, you have to monitor how much time they're actually virtually learning and virtually being socially dragged in into these different groups, because now they're creating groups of all sorts. I mean, right.
Well, I think it goes back to preparation.
Absolutely.
We were not prepared for this. So very quickly, oh, kids are out of school, we'll send you lesson plans.
Right.
Now, if you always homeschool your child, no big deal. You've become acclimated, you know the techniques. But I remember in the beginning, people were rushing to get these lesson plans. Some people, some school systems, it was virtual. So you could digitally get it, print it, what have you. Other school systems, you had to actually pick up the packet.
Yes.
It was people, I'm working from home, the kids are here, you know, and this was a lot of times before we start having the virtual technology where the teachers are now interfacing with the children. It was all right. Parent. So people are looking at, my child goes to school, let's say from 8 to 3:30. They're trying to do hours and hours and hours and hours of teaching them. Plus, I got to do my own job working from home. When, you know, you start seeing experts, educational experts saying, hey, these kids only need 1 to 2 hours a day tops.
That's it.
Ever you're educating them on. Well, when we flip that to the adults, yeah, you went to work and maybe worked 8 hours a day, or you work from home and you work this number of hours. But now that those people are no longer in that office environment and you're now working from home, we understand there's certain things technology-wise, we got to interface, if there's a meeting, we got to whatever. But the same thing, you don't need to sit for 4, 5, 6, 7 hours back and forth, just all on technology. And I think it's what I see a lot in how people are using this downtime. You know, you have coaches, you have people giving programs, you have people reducing the prices of their services from 1,000 to 100. You can get digital versions of this, and all of those things are wonderful. But the thing is, people are not taking into account how much you're consuming. It's the same thing with social media.
Same thing.
So addicted to, you know, first thing you got up, I had to check my messages on this. Most of us have so many hours connected to just social media, looking at messages and responding. Now you add to that the Zoom calls or other technology. And now you add to that, you're trying to learn things for training purposes. It's overkill.
Overload.
So you may not have realized that in the beginning, you're trying to adjust, but as we go further along in this, we need to have more structure.
Yes, we do.
To jump on every webinar. You might have to say, I'm not going to do any more than 3 hours a day. My job may dictate that I have to do 1 to 2, and I'm going to have another hour for enrichment or whatever. Maybe part of that is communicating with your family or your staff or coworkers, what have you. And then I'm off. You know, I find myself, I think for me, one of the reasons now I have to virtually distance, because it's like, okay, we'll do certain things business-wise on Zoom or other platforms. If it's a client, yeah, I would like to see them. So it's either teleconference or we're also doing something virtually there. And then you have all these plethora of messages. I got tags on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
A Facebook message, I understand. And we're not knocking any of these brands. But now I understand friends from years ago that was like, I'm not going to have Messenger on my phone.
Right.
Go see the messages when I want to. I don't want notifications on my phone. I get them now because I'm the same way. I see stuff pop up and you got friends, you got family, you got people trying to sell you stuff. You know what? Most people, if you send me now a message on Messenger, I won't read it for days Because while you might have a lot of downtime, or this is your business and you got hours to keep pumping this stuff to me, I don't have hours to respond to all of you. So it's like, and half of it is nonsensical things. No, I didn't send you a message on Messenger. That's a hoax thing. You probably got a viral whatever where you got this on automatic, but your notification didn't get on my nerves. So it's like, I'm actually working. I got stuff to do. I don't have time to keep looking at all these messages.
Alicia, are you Zoom burnt out?
It ain't even Zoom. I'm Facebook Messenger out. Stop sending me messages! Yes, I mean that in the most professional way. I mean that with all the love and sincerity in my heart.
We can tell.
Leave me alone. Just leave me alone. If we're that connected, you have an email address. You have my phone. And I'm not responding to those for at least 24 to 48 hours unless they're very important. But it's just communication overload. Leave people alone. Be intentional about your use and be intentional about what you're sending.
That's right.
Everything has changed. That's my spill. Do you have any observations or words for us, Miss Saudia White?
Oh, boy.
So I'm going to get down off my pulpit for a moment.
I think our beautiful co-host had a lot going on within that Zoom, her Zoom. Ooh. I'm going to call it Zoom anxiety.
And yeah, I'm not even going to call it that.
Messenger anxiety.
I can't even blame Zoom. Zoom is great for me because the one thing I love about Zoom, if you're intentional, I got a schedule. So I know I'm going to be or come to your meeting at that time and then I'm off of Zoom.
Okay, well. I want you all to, on my blog, on my blogging, when you do read it, you're going to see that I spoke about Psychology Today, and one of the authors, the writers in that magazine, Suzanne Degas, and I'm not sure if I'm saying her name right, so forgive me, White. She has a PhD in Lifetime Connections, and she spoke in reference to Zoom fatigue and not letting video meetings zap your energy. She speaks about some of the cheats to help you beat Zoom fatigue.
Okay.
You. And I like what she had to say. So I would encourage you all to read that article.
Can you give us just one of the tips?
I'll share a little bit.
Thank you. You know me, I'm always like, well, can you just give me one little secret and I'll go read the rest.
Okay. So one of her tips that she shared she said, when you're tuning into a business meeting, use your phone and focus on listening and taking paper and pen notes rather than doing double screen duty when you can.
Taking my
hand has been shown to increase retention in the classroom. So take a lesson from this and focus on what is being said. She also says multiple video conferences in one day tend to blur into one another, just as the day. By focusing on what is happening and writing legible notes as you go, you'll be able to stay focused and retain what is being shared. So
yeah, that's true.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
It does. It does. And then I'll say this with Zoom. And that's another part that I want to say as we close out, is that a lot of times people are forced to use this technology.
That's right.
Some of us have used it before. Some of us have not used it before. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I look at Zoom meetings sometimes and I cringe because I'm just like, okay, you understand that Zoom is visual, correct? So when you sit there, everybody can see that. And a lot of these
in your Apple recording. Eating your apple or wiping
your paint my nail. People can see that and it's distracting. So my thing is, you know, don't have the video on. Nothing has, you know, you don't have to have video unless they want you to. So yeah, you can see everybody, but we don't have to see you. And then it's like, if I can say anything for tips, please know where your mute button is. Mm-hmm. Please know where your video button is. It won't disconnect you from, at least with Zoom, it won't disconnect you. But there are times you may step away. You have to step away. And it's like, that's one of the things that make me cringe when I see people with their phone or device and we're walking with you and walking with you and you're moving and you're doing this. You cooking that. Hey. Nobody needs to know that you're really not paying attention.
Absolutely.
Off, or better yet, and I'm going to lighten it up here. There was one I saw, and you might have seen it on social media, where the person had to go to the bathroom. And God bless your little spirit. You had that phone with you, or whatever device you use, and we're walking down the hallway with you. We're walking down the hallway, and you see this woman pull her pants down and sit on the toilet.
And no.
She did not realize it. I guess it, like, and I mean, she even put the device down when we're seeing her. We're like,
oh, no.
Like, she must have realized it, like, oh, my God. And then she just cut off, and people were, like, snickering. So the host is like, what did I, is something going on? They're like, no. And somebody's like, poor so-and-so. But that's an example.
That is. That's
a mindset.
That's a great example.
Like, what in the... But, you know, people, it happens so quick and we're just used to doing things. And I guess she just wasn't thinking. But that's why it's important for you to know, where's my mute? Where's my camera? Where's my camera? How can I still be in this? But not you seeing things or hearing me go to the bathroom. So it's like, you know, technology is great. Sometimes you need the distance. Definitely if you're on a Zoom call or video conference call and you have to go to the bathroom or you're yelling at your spouse or child or something like that, please know where mute is. Just hit mute.
I'll give you one that's not going to top that one.
I hope not.
But after the webinar, everyone was kind of saying their goodbyes and you can hear, they were unmuting and you can hear the one woman, she had unmuted and her kids and she's cursing at her children, and this is a professional webinar and she's just going off and someone saying we can still hear you. I mean, she's laying into those children and I'm saying, oh wow, now is this someone that you really want to have in your business working with you?
And that may not be a side of you you want people to see.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because we all have our days. So, you know, but, you know, you have to be definitely aware of how to work your, you know, your technology, especially yes. if it's new and it's in front of you.
Yes. And, so, you know, in this time of social distancing, coronavirus, there's a lot of adjustments. We're not going to get perfect. But mm-hmm. I think if we take anything away from this show, it's just mindfulness.
That's right.
Yes. What does your spirit, mind, and body and soul need? What does it need? How can you be engaged, but not engaged to a point that is overwhelming to you? And when you see it's too much of a good thing, quickly make adjustments, quickly pivot. And you can do that and still enjoy being engaged with people, still see people, because it's important. Voice is important. Hearing your voice is important, but seeing you, we're social beings, we're made to be together and communicate and interact and do things together. So that, you know, Zoom, it's allowing us to be safe and do those things. Mm-hmm. Any too much of a good thing makes it not a good thing anymore. So just be mindful in this season. Make sure that you're still doing things with the people that are in your home. You're still protecting your home, your environment, your ear gates, and you're preserving that space. So you're not allowing all of these things to overwhelm you. And when they do, you pivot. Some people are going into mass production and creation time, things in their brain. Well, everybody's home, so let me get all this stuff going so I can engage. That can be too much of a good thing. Because if you have to work those, and I'm probably speaking from experience, if you're working those countless hours to create content and brand pieces and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, then by the time you're on camera, you're exhausted. It's not necessarily from being on camera so much. It's from all the stuff that nobody saw that you were spending countless hours in doing on top of your normal schedule. So just be mindful and be intentional. And I'm off my pulpit.
Well, thank you, Alicia.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Our soapbox to today.
Yes, honey.
This was our virtual social distancing.
Yes.
Zoom.
We're about to distance in a moment.
We're definitely getting ready to take heed to what we've been saying because as we do these shows, we do want you all to know that we also have to exercise self-care. It is so necessary to do so. Mm-hmm. I don't want you ever to forget that. Even with everything going on around us and all of what we're doing and all of the intentional changes that we've had to make, please make time for yourself. That's first and foremost. And make time, as Alicia said, for the people in your home, because sometimes with all this Zooming, you forget that you still have people that are in your home that you still need to spend that time with. I just wanted to say, we are still going to continue the talks of our first responders with first responders coming from different areas. We definitely appreciate all that they're doing and have done and are continuing to do amidst this crisis. And we are thankful that more people are becoming aware and are starting to take it seriously. But as Alicia has stated, please, just because you see that there are, you know, the deaths have lessened and more people are leaving the hospital and getting to go home and they are free of coronavirus, please take it seriously and know that we are still in the fire. We are still fighting a good fight. Yes. As we close out today, we encourage you to stay tuned to our Facebook page, Generational Survivors, as well as the Entrepreneurs Lounge radio show for all updates, resources, and upcoming shows. Until next time, to all of our beautiful viewers out there, we pray for our nation.
Yes.
We pray that you are all safe.
Yes.
And we are going to sign off for now.
Bye-bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Entrepreneur's Lounge, where we expose the myths of entrepreneurship and release the weight of it all. Real people, real issues, and real talk with expert solutions. Make sure you stay tuned to our Facebook page and thejoyguru.net for show updates, announcements, and to learn how you can be a guest on our show.